primer probably now, and I don't know. I'm just making it. Bible says this: the glory of a young man is what? Strength, right? I have two teenage boys that live in my house. They're my sons, which makes it convenient. And they just recently have found the benefit of dumbbells. And so, so every night they're challenging each other and proving their teenage manhood to one another, to which then becomes a challenge to their father. So it's a blessing. It's great. The glory, their glory is their strength. Dad, look what I can do. Look at me. Look at this. Try this. Do this. Lift this. Push this. And that's how they are. Glory means splendor, magnificence, honor. What's the glory of God? Well, we would look around and look outside and, you know, we see the sunsets. And in Western New York during the summertime with that orange and that purple, you look out this way and, man, it's absolutely beautiful. If some of you get up early, you get to see that rise in the morning. You go, oh, that glorifies the Lord. Certainly it does. The Bible tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And no doubt. In John chapter 17, look at verse 23. John chapter 17, just so you know what the setting is here. We've gone through the Last Supper. We've gone through that. They're on their way to the garden. And the Lord is now talking. Christ is talking to the Father. This John chapter 17 is a conversation between Christ and God the Father. And in verse 23, he says this: I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And look at these words: and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's some serious love. The Father loves us as much as he loves Christ himself. Whew. That's not our message tonight. Verse 24. Father, now this is Christ talking. He says, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, number one, be with me where I am. And that's true, isn't that? Isn't that true? John chapter 14. Behold, I go to a place, right, that I've prepared for you. He's preparing a place for us. We call it heaven. And we will one day get to spend forever with him as a child of God. So how do I know? How do I know that I'm going there? Well, we have a problem. Our problem is our sin. The Bible says that our sin separates us from God. It's kind of like a chasm, if you will, a divide. It's a separator. Our iniquities have separated us. Say, well, I haven't done anything really bad. The Bible tells us if we offend in one point, we're guilty of the whole entire thing. And there we are, sinners. Now, heaven is an absolute 100% holy place, meaning there is no evil anywhere in heaven. It's perfect. Absolutely. To the streets that are made, to God sitting on the throne, there was an angel at one point that said, you know what? One day I'm going to be sitting on that throne. Boom, got kicked out of heaven because of pride. God doesn't mess around. So how do I, a sinful being, get into a perfect place? How do I get rid of my sin is the question. How can I do this? How can I be with where Christ is going to be? How is it possible? How is it possible that a sinful man could get rid of sin? Say, well, here's what I'll do. I'll do a lot of good things for people. I'll find helpless old ladies and I'll help them. Today on our way into church, you would have been so proud of me, church. There was three guys, and they're like, hey, slow down, right around the corner from my house. All three of them had dog leashes in their hand. They're like, our little dog is running around here. Please be careful driving. And I didn't even speed up. Isn't that nice? and the dog came running out, and I opened up my door, and here he came, and he was about to come to me, and then he took off running. But I even tried to help a helpless dog that was going to get hit. And he was running down, now he's running down Route 18. He's about this big. Here comes the Jeep. I'm watching it all play out. And the Jeep lady stops, and he puts his paws on the front of the Jeep, and then she comes around, she tosses him in the Jeep, and just drove off. Like, she didn't even stop for the guys. No, she didn't. She went over and delivered the dog. Happy ending, make a movie, here we are, Homeward Bound, right? Say, surely that will get me into heaven. No, that doesn't take away sin. Well, you don't know this, but I am independently wealthy. And I'm going to send $1 million to Doctors Without Walls. And I'm going to help people in third world countries. That God will take notice of and get rid of my sin. No, that doesn't get rid of our sin. The only way to get rid of your sin is to confess that you are a sinner and believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the only way and ask Him to save you. That's it. And there, you will be with me where I am. That is the only way to get to heaven. You know, from here, if I gave you directions to get to Wegmans, we could go a lot of different ways. We could go down 260 and then cross this way, or go that way, or go this way. A lot of ways to get to heaven. There is but one way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your thoughts are towards it. It's what God says towards it. We like to play games at our house, like board games. And it's very important when we play games that we thoroughly read all the rules. Because that is by which the way we govern the game. It's very important that we read all the rules. Because this is by which our life is governed. Well, I don't like Jesus. I don't want to have anything to do with it. That doesn't matter. It's what God says. First point. Second point. So you were talking about glory. Yes, that's our second point. That they may behold my glory. Who's this talking? This is Christ talking back to the Father. What does He want? He wants you to see His glory. So for a moment tonight, maybe 5-10 minutes, we will quickly go through the Scriptures, 6 different places, 6 different time periods, where we see the glory of Christ. Starts in John chapter 17, verse 5. This is our very first one. Say, don't you think you should go to Genesis? Like, the very beginning of the book, to see the beginning of the glory of the Father, of Christ? Well, let's see what it says. John chapter 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee. What does it say? Before the world was. Hey, when did Jesus Christ show up? Oh, about 2,000 years ago. Day zero. There were some shepherds. There were some wise men, right? We have the scene in our head. Manger. This verse says that Christ was there when time started. We call that eternity past. If you're like me, and hopefully not, but maybe in this thought, but if you're like me, I can understand eternity future. I can understand God doing something in my life, as the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where He takes this corruptible and puts on incorruptible. I get that. He's going to do something, change me in a way that I can inhabit heaven for eternity. And I trust Him that He can do that. Forever. And ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It never ends. But the concept I struggle with in my head is always was. Eternity past. He always was. Well, when did He begin? He didn't. He always was. Well, He must have come from... He always was. Like, my brain's about to explode. I can't get it. Because everything I know has a beginning and an end. Everything. Everything I've ever seen in my entire life has a beginning and an end. And Christ says, you know what? I've been here. It says, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. He's always been. And God says, I get glory from that. God is glorified in that He always was. Then, yes, John chapter 1. 6 points tonight. Number one, eternity past. The Bible tells us in Revelation that He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Please understand that He not only inhabits eternity past, but eternity future. He always will be. Christ will not lose. That's good news. John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hey, there's that salvation right there. Hey, take the gift. We were talking at Hilton East to our dear people over at Hilton East today about gifts. And what, I was just talking to my son about this, Hudson. And his birthday's coming up. It's May 10th. And I was talking to him about salvation a little bit. He's seven. We were laying in bed last night. I said, Hudson, tell me about when you got saved. He's like, what do you mean? Nana was here and Papa was here and Mom was talking to me. I said, what does it mean to be saved? Well, to love God. And I don't think he has a concept of it yet. I think we're going to revisit this, is what I'm saying. So I was talking to him about gifts. I said, Hudson, what do you want for your birthday? He's like, oh, you know, all of a sudden, woo, you know, well, now you're talking, Dad. This is where I wanted to go with this. Stop the salvation stuff. And so I said, son, what would you like for your birthday? He's like, Legos, of course. I said, yeah, okay. So I said, wouldn't it be neat if I got you this giant thing of Legos? I said, Legos are tough to mass, though. You just go like this, and you know it's Legos, right? I mean, it is given. And I said, here we go, and I give you this big thing of Legos, and there you all are, and it's the exact set you wanted. You open it up, and I say, okay, that'll be $129.95. He looks at me, he's like, what? I said, imagine if I charged you for your birthday gift. He's like, no. But as many as received Him, gift of salvation is just me simply taking. He paid for it all. It was a gift to me. And the Bible says this, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Three things that will not save you. Your last name, your flesh, anything you can do, nor your actions. Not by blood, nor which we were born, nor by my will. Well, here's what I'm going to do. But of God. The only way for salvation is through God. And then look at verse 14. For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What's the glory of the Father? It's Jesus Christ. We saw that in eternity past, eternity future. We see it when He was glorified on the earth and took on human form in the likeness of grace and truth. Is there two better words to pair up? Grace and truth. That's what Jesus Christ was. And that was His glory. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, quickly. Matthew 17 in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up to the high mountain apart. And He was transfigured before them. And His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. What happened? Christ takes Peter, James, and John, and they go up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and He unveils Him, His glory, for but a moment. Whom? Light. Right? Isn't that what it says? And His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the area there, but it wasn't necessarily a clean place. For raiment to be white, supernatural. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah show up, right? Then answered Peter and said, unto Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." He's like, "This is really awesome. I'm so glad we're here. I'm so glad you brought us. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." We're seeing people that we've never seen before, and we're seeing you in your glory. Can we make some tabernacles? While he had spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." Through verse 9. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." What did they see? They saw the glory of God for a moment. He revealed himself. Still shaded in some... No one has seen Christ in his full glory. But for a moment they saw it. Christ's life was about glory. Yes, it was about saving us. But understand that Jesus Christ was the glory of the Father. We see that through eternity past. We see that when he came to this earth. We see that on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now there's some things to come. Revelation chapter 5. Anybody watch the news? Any news watchers? No. That would explain the smiles. I'm not sure if you watch. If you do watch the news, maybe anybody listen to the news? Anybody do that? Sure, listen to the news. No matter what side of the news you listen to, whether you're listening to conservative or liberal or unbiased, whatever, it's a mess. I'm just like, there's circumstances that are just difficult and a mess. And you go, where's this going? Like, how's this going to help? What, like, where does this world end? Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Hey, we had a good song service here tonight. Man, we were singing. Could you imagine that number? And everybody singing it out. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Look at, "to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings." When Christ, when these end things are coming up, all of a sudden attention is going to go back to Christ, and he's going to receive glory. There's a bunch of people here. How many people? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So how many is that? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. It's very clear. And they're all going to say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And they're going to give him glory. During the Great Tribulation, he will receive glory. You understand the Great Tribulation takes about 7 years. And then after that, Jesus Christ himself is going to show up. This scene here is in heaven. What's going to happen is Jesus Christ himself is going to come back. Matthew chapter 16. Quickly, just two more. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And the Son of Man, in verse 27. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come, what? In the glory of his Father, with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. One day he's going to come back to this earth, the second advent. He's going to come back. Not only is he going to call us home, we call that the rapture, but he's also going to come back. We're getting a little prophecy lesson tonight. Not only is he going to call the church out, but he's also going to come back on this earth. And the Bible says, with glory. With glory. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father. Lastly, during the millennium, Matthew chapter 19, in verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. See, he's going to not only come back, but he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And shall sit in the throne of glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And he shall sit in the throne of his glory. You know, there's a lot of speculation who Jesus was. Oh, he's just a good teacher. What we saw tonight wasn't just a good teacher. He inhabited or held power in eternity past. He will continue through eternity future. And a whole bunch of marks in between. This wasn't just some guy. It wasn't just another man that was born in Israel some 2,000 years ago that died a cruel death. You understand, Jesus Christ was not the only person that was crucified. But he was the only person that could save us from our sins. So what's the point of the message tonight? Well, if he's the glory of the Father, I want to glorify him. I want my life to be where it brings splendor and magnificence and praise and adoration and honor to Christ. Because you know what I am? So you're a sinner. Correct. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And now I'm a child of God. For as many as received him, to them... Well, isn't that what we read? John 1:12? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe on his name. I'm no longer just a sinner. I'm a child of God. I am a Christian. And my life bears the name of that one we talked about. And I want this life to glorify him. As we live as Christians, what ought our life ought to do? Glorify God. It ought to be about making Christ look good. The truths and the blessings of the Word of God just rehearsed over and over and over again every single day. Splendor, magnificence, praise and adoration, and honor. Let's all stand. Glad you're here tonight. I hear tomorrow's 70. Is that true? Excellent. Very good. Which probably means snow on Saturday. Is probably what that means.